Taz and Moose. You know it's Taz and Moose. Hey.
It is Taz and the Moose with you on this Tuesday morning. Coming to you live, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Connor, Mike across the way, Bogish with your updates. A lot of NFL here on this Tuesday morning, Taz, reacting to everything that transpired last night in the doubleheader of Monday Night Football, which I do like. I mentioned it a little bit yesterday, Taz. I do like the opening week of Monday Night Football where you get the game at, you know, 7:10 or 7 o'clock, and then you get the 10:10 or 10:15 start out west. I mean, when they first initiated, remember the game started at 6:30. I think the first time they ever did it was the Chip Kelly era beginning. Eagles-Redskins down in D.C., and that game kicked off at 6:30 in the evening on the East Coast.
You're in the middle eating dinner, eating a little roast beef, baked potatoes, some carrots, maybe a string bean medley, and next thing you know, you're watching football. Like, honey, turn it up! Not anymore. That's 7 o'clock, a little later. Now you're done. You're eating dessert.
You're done with your roast beef dinner and the au jus. I think the doubleheader does work.
I like it.
I wish they did more of it. You get it the opening week, which adds to it. So with that being said, let's get to it. Here's the three.
It is now time for the three. We get you caught up on the three biggest headlines of the day with Taz and the Moose. Number one.
Saints stun Texans on Will Lutz's walk-off field goal.
Yeah, 58-yard field goal by Will Lutz. If you missed it, let's hear it. Here you go.
58-yard attempt for the win. Snap, placement. Lutz leans into it. Lutz has got the distance. Oh, he's got it! Saints win!
Birdman last night on Westwood One. As the Saints are victorious, Taz, we hit upon this game a lot, kicking off the show this morning. The Texans defense at the end on the last possession by the New Orleans Saints, the comeback, you look at it, you know, the three scoring plays that you saw in the final, 100 seconds of this football game. Remarkable kind of back and forth nature to it. Very, very entertaining. What was not a great opening week of the NFL, was a very, very entertaining opening game to Monday Night Football.
Yeah, I loved it. I had a blast watching this game. Like I said earlier, I was watching a little bit of Monday Night Raw, and I started watching the game at 7 o'clock, and then once Raw came on, I watched a couple, like a segment or two of that, and then I went back to the football game and never left the football game, the Saints and the Texans. It was great. It was great. And I'm not usually big into dome games, you know, but, that, you know, down there at Mercedes-Benz, the Superdome, and like you pointed out earlier when we started the show here, the Saints fan base in that dome, in that building, is unbelievable, and the atmosphere was amazing. But I'll tell you what, this Texas team kept them kind of chill for a little while, the fan base, the 12th man, because, you know, they were scoring. They were doing great. I mean, especially in the second quarter, putting up 14 points. Watson, shy of 270 yards in passing, 20 of 30, three touchdowns, one interception. Played really, really good, and basically had the game won, and then they got that rough the kicker call on the extra point, and got the extra kicked the extra point again, and then here comes Drew Brees, and then the 58-yard field goal by Lutz was unbelievable for the Saints. What a game! A lot of fun watching it.
Yeah, it really was a heartbreaking loss for Bill O'Brien, the Houston Texans. Taz, here is the head coach afterward.
Both teams played hard. Probably, you know. We just didn't make enough plays in the second half to overcome it. So, you know, they did a great job. Give credit to the Saints. They got a great team. But we've got a good football team.
Yeah, how about Deshaun Watson? Tough pill to swallow.
Offensively, you know, personally being an offensive leader, you know, we could have did a little more. With great teams like this, you know, playing on the road, a great quarterback and Drew Brees, you got to be able to, you know, put the game away.
Yeah, and Taz, they didn't, and the Saints were victorious. I was really surprised by the stat. You know, we know that, you know, we obviously remember last year they losing to the Buccaneers, stunning loss at home to Ryan Fitzpatrick and the Bucs. But the Saints had lost the last five or six season openers going into last year.
Yeah, I heard that.
Which was strange.
I was very surprised with that.
I didn't really. Think about that. And last night could have been, you know, another one of those, if not for Lutz and the magic late, the 58-yarder.
Yeah, and the bad scheme defensively, as you pointed out.
No doubt.
The
yeah, laying off, the, giving them at the 50-yard line 6 seconds to go, you know, laying off and giving the Saints, you know, 7, 8, 9 yards that they need to get into field goal range, Taz, and being able to call a timeout with 2 seconds left. I don't get that defense by the Houston Texans whatsoever. That, to me, makes little to no sense, and we chat about it. It was, you know, you agree, it was a bad defensive scheme.
Got to put some pressure on Breeze. You had to. And they didn't do that at all. They played conservative, and they left the underneath wide open. You can't just leave first down markers wide open for a guy like Breeze in a two-minute offense. He will chop you up with his accuracy, and he sure as hell did. It was a stinger for sure for the Texans. Felt bad for Watson at the end, man. He just, once that game ended, he just seemed so dejected, and understandably so. But he took accountability. Felt like the offense could have played, made more plays. We heard J.J. Watt earlier. He took accountability. So you got two leaders on your offense and your defense on that Texans team. You know, no matter what we want to say about O'Brien or Cornell's defense or whatever, you know, you got guys hold themselves accountable, which these are true pros, and it's nice to hear in a loss.
Yeah,
you
good
know?
Point. You know. Yeah, I mean, it is a good point. The other thing, Taz, is Texans. I don't know if Watson can hold up taking the beating he takes in the quarterback spot.
I know, man.
He was banged up last night, was in that medical tent, two or three occasions in that first half. They were working on his lower back. We know that he's been, you know, hurt or, you know, suffered the torn ACL, but also last year banged up a lot over the course of the year. He takes an absolute beating at the quarterback spot. Not that big of a guy, as you brought up
right,
earlier
he's not,
on.
Not thick, you know, his body, you know. And that, when he landed on his back, I've obviously done that a lot, but it's different when you're landing the way he landed. Like, it's not like, I don't think there's a muscle issue. He didn't tear a muscle. His pain is just probably a massive contusion and like a hematoma, and it's painful as hell. So you iced the hell out of it. So he probably iced last night a lot. He's probably going to sit in the ice tub today. He's probably, if practicing, he's probably, well, they're probably off, I would think. They have a short week, but who knows. I'm just saying, like, you got to ice that like crazy. And they got, these NFL teams have amazing trainers. So, you know, the ice brings down the swelling, you know, obviously, for those that don't know. So some people might not realize that. I'm just saying.
No, of course.
I've had a lot of swells.
I know. I get it. I get it, Taz. And also, there's not much give in that turf.
No, man. The turf's hard.
That's different than natural grass.
Natural grass is a little softer.
Right.
You know?
A little bit of a softer landing rather than landing on what that field turf was last night down in New Orleans.
You're right. And we talked about it maybe a year ago or whatever. We had a conversation about field turf. And, you know, not to bore people with it, but, you know, it's, and you know this, and it's basically cement, and underneath there is some cushion, and then there's a little bit of ground up tires from your car, from a truck, whatever, and then they lay the field turf down. So it's not like grass where it's dirt, you know, and it's some cushion there, you know. Now, it's a little softer than the original artificial turf.
Right, but it's just not the level. Right.
It's not. It's,
the artificial turf was like playing on concrete.
Oh, dude, it really was. Yeah. I played in that stuff, and it was. And guys, as you know, guys were getting injured all the time.
No question.
Like, all the time. They had that up at Cuse, in the Carrier Dome, right?
They
had the. But now they have field turf,
now they
obviously.
Have field turf. Yeah. I think. I don't know if there's a.
There is one. I'll tell you one spot I know, okay? But it's. It's a lacrosse field. It's at Lehigh University.
Okay.
My son played out there, and they have old school artificial turf, but it's different with lacrosse. It's hitting, but not as much as football.
But I don't know if is there a football. I don't think there's a Division I program that either doesn't have field turf or regular grass.
I think you're right.
I can't remember.
I think they're all field turf.
I think they're all field turf now.
It's safer. You know who else has artificial turf? Just you'll get this because you live near it. Fairfield University. They have Fairfield Prep, the high school. Right at Fairfield University, they have old school turf.
Old school turf. Okay.
So my son played there when he was in high school against them, and of course he hurt his groin because of the freaking turf. And two guys on the team hurt their ankles because they're not used. These kids, they're not used to playing on that stuff. They're used to field turf or grass. Yeah, so I don't like that.
No,
that's I'm talking about the actual turf.
Yeah, no, I get it. I totally get it. For Watson here and for the Texans. You hope that he's able to stay healthy the entire year. All right, next.
Number two.
Derek Carr vrooms forward to lead the Raiders past the Broncos.
And Andrew just tries so hard to entertain him. He really does. Between you and me, Moose, he goes over the top.
Well, he's got a lot to build up to with Zach.
Thank you.
Is Zach ever coming back?
He's on vacation. He's enjoying a little bit of time off.
Who goes next on week? Vacation now, bro?
I didn't ask him what or where.
Who goes on vacation now? Really? Come on. Zach. Is he coming back or not? Come on. Tell me
he's
going
to be back.
You sure?
Yeah, I think so. I hope he is back.
I hope so, too, after hearing Andrew do these reads. He's scheduled to be here Monday? Yes. All right, we'll see.
Carr was great. 4 incompletions, throws for a tad under 300 yards, couple touchdowns. Tyrell Williams catching the football, led the Raiders in receiving. Josh Jacobs, the rookie running back in Alabama, over 100 yards of total offense, 85 on the ground, and a couple of scores. He had some very, very creative chants in reference to Antonio Brown by the Oakland faithful and the black hole as that game was going along. You know, they're lighting his jersey on fire. They're dousing it in alcohol. Yeah. I'm sure some were wiping their rear end with the jersey last night before the game, Taz. So it felt good for the Raiders. And listen, I know people look at Gruden and say it's an act and this and that. Here's what I love about Gruden. I love after that game went final, and he's getting paid a lot of money. I love the fact that he goes to the fans out in Oakland in the black hole and is hugging and high-fiving the fans, Taz. I mean, he enjoys being a Raider head coach.
He
enjoys being representing that franchise. And I think that I know a lot of it's an act. I think that's great by the Raiders coach.
I agree with you 1,000%. And for anybody who watched Hard Knocks this season, a lot of people say it wasn't that good. And I agree. It wasn't great. They didn't really give you too much. I mean, it was a lot about Antonio Brown and his feet and the helmet. But what I took away from it, and not that this is a bad thing, I have no problem with it, is that John Gruden, the Raiders head coach and GM or whatever his EVP title is, besides head coach, Moose, this guy, to the point you made, loves football. He loves the game. He's like a little kid.
I love football.
I mean, he's like a little kid. He's chasing around Derek Carr in practice. He goes, here comes Von Miller. He's Von Miller. He's acting like he's Von Miller. Like, it's funny. Like, he's joking around, but this is during practice. He's chasing Peterman around. He loves Peterman, by the way. Loves him.
I know. Loves
Peterman. Loves Nate Peterman. Yeah. Anyway, no, he loves the game. He loves the game. He loves the coach. And I think it's infectious off to his team. I think that, and I learned this during Hard Knocks, those players, he's a player's coach, they connect to him. They tease him, he teases them, but I think they know when he's being, you know, a hardline guy, they respect him, you know, because of his history, obviously, and his knowledge.
Yeah, and Taz, I don't think there's any doubt about it. And the Raiders, you can sense, took a lot of their frustration out on the Denver Broncos. And, you know, Flacco didn't play particularly well, Taz. You know, Elway's had an impossible time of finding that next quarterback out there in Denver.
I told you, bro, the Flacco.
Listen, I might prove to be wrong. You know, I thought Flacco had a lot more game. He didn't look good last night. And you might end up being right on that one. After game one, Taz, you looked dead on correct.
You know, so, I don't brag. You know how I am.
I understand. Yeah, so it's not about right or wrong, right?
No, not with me, anyway. You know me. I'm easy peasy. You know, that's my game.
He did not look good, Taz. That defense did not look great either. And the Raiders took out their frustration on the Denver Broncos, and a good start for Oakland.
And I think it's important to note, as we did earlier, you know, the head coach of the Broncos, who was the DC for quite some time with the Chicago Bears, Vic Fangio. This guy, Fangio, is a defensive guru, responsible for legit defenses everywhere he's been for over 30-something years in the NFL. And you know, you got some talented defensive players on that Bronco team, and the Raiders, you know, took it to them 24-16. And that's impressive. I know they were home. That's impressive over a Fangio defense. So good job by the Raiders dealing with all of the outside noise and the inside noise that they had of Antonio Brown and Gruden and Mayock and the coaching staff able to keep the Raider football players locked in on the task at hand, beat the Denver Broncos at home at night, and they did that.
They certainly did. Yep. All right, Connor, next.
Number 3.
Lynn Swann flies away as USC's athletic director.
Oh, my God. Yes, did you hear what he just said?
Yes.
Come on, bro. I did. Who's writing this stuff? Mike, are you writing this stuff for him?
No, I'm not.
Is he just coming up with that? I mean, come on.
Very creative.
Or trying too hard to get over with the audience and the wheel.
Antonio Brown.
All right. There you go. Swan resigns after a 3-year stint as Trojans athletic director. You know, he, in a letter addressed to the Trojan community, Swan said his resignation is effective immediately and called him a leader. Well, this was from the president, the school president. A leader on and off the field at USC for nearly 5 decades.
Yeah. Listen, this was a shocker. This was a surprise for sure. But, you know, USC president Carol Folt, who, you know, basically was the vice president of athletics and compliance, is going to be now the interim AD, so the athletic director there. So, I mean, yeah, it was a surprise for sure. Lynn Swann, legendary player, as everybody knows, and one of the best wide receivers I've ever seen. I mean, during his years, you know, in Pittsburgh, was just insane. But it's been tough there after, you know, 3 tough years, tumultuous years, you know, in one of the most prestigious, you know, college football programs of all time, or athletic programs of all time, with the USC Trojans. A lot of spotlight on you there, man.
No doubt. You had Pat Hayden before him.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
He stepped down. Yep. Now it's Lynn Swann. And you're right. I mean, if you want to judge it based on Taz, on Division I basketball, Division I football, right, they've seen obviously better days. But I also think, you know, you mentioned Carol Folt. She was brought in as March as the new school president.
Right, right.
And in the letter, she basically said, it got to the end sense. It was an understanding. Folt wants to bring in her team.
Right.
To run the program. She doesn't want, you know, holdovers or the like. And Taz, there hasn't been a great amount of success. So it's not like, listen, if USC had won back-to-back national championships, I'm sure Lynn Swann would still be the athletic director,
of course.
Yeah. They haven't. They've struggled. I'm talking about football now. They've struggled. They haven't been that dominant team in the Pac-12, and they want to go in a new direction.
Yeah, they do. And you know, they've definitely, to your point, they've had some tough times football-wise and already this year. You know, so it's like we'll see. I mean, a storied program for sure. I mean, a respected program for sure. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens, how it plays out. I mean, I think that you have a guy like a Lynn Swann that had been there, a true football guru and an amazing athlete and a very intelligent guy.
No question.
You know, it's a tough deal. It's a tough deal that, you know, he stepped down. But listen, you see this whole time in business. Someone wants to bring in their team, you know, their leadership team or what have you, their upper management team. It happens in every business. People out there listening to us, it don't matter if they're in the sports business or radio business, TV business, finance business, textile business. How's that one? You know, it don't matter what they're in. You know, people want to bring in their leadership team, you know, their own team. So Swan wasn't part of that.
No, and not part of that, Taz. And also, we do know at USC, one of those schools, Taz, that was rocked by that admission scandal.
Yeah, big time. Actresses, kids.
So, I mean, that obviously, you know, now Holt said that was not a determining factor, and obviously Lynn Swann played no role in that. But it is something where USC is looking kind of freshen up the leadership out there in Southern California for that Trojan team and for that program and for that university.
And I think we talked about it last week. We might have touched on it. We had so much NFL stuff, but JT Daniels, the quarterback, blew his knee out. You know, football wise, I'm saying for USC, they're dealing with that. I believe they got an 18-year-old freshman that's going to
start. Stepped in and played brilliantly.
Right. So
they beat Stanford this past week.
That's right. They did beat Stanford. That's
Costello
right.
now did not start for Stanford. Right, they're starting quarterback. For okay. Right. For Stanford, he was out with, I think, a concussion. I forget, or an ankle. I forget. Costello did not play for Stanford, but the 18-year-old stepped in and was
great.
Was fantastic.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, so, you know, I mean, so maybe they can get it rolling. I mean, for the USC Trojans. And, yeah, but Lynn Swann, if he wants to keep in the football game in some facet, then he did a lot of work for years as a broadcaster,
too. He did. You're right.
Very well spoken. I mean, you know.
He's in movies, too.
Yeah, maybe we should get him on as a regular. Like a guest.
Taz and the Moose contributor.
Yeah, from the West Coast. To give us maybe like a whole, what do you think, Mike? Can you get that done with Swan?
We'll ask him.
Okay.
No.
Okay, sounds good. Next.
Maybe Mike will head out west, turn on Uber app, and he'll deliver food to them.
Well, I don't think Mike, you're not allowed to deliver and you're not allowed to pick up in California, right?
I think I am. I've been tempted to put it on in another state. It hasn't stopped me, but I haven't exactly tried.
Now, is that nationwide?
I believe so, yes.
So you can go to wherever Uber Eats is available. Is it available in all 50 states?
I don't know the answer to that.
I had the answer, but then I thought about it. Some areas just don't have it. Like when I was up in Cape Cod, they didn't have it. In some towns,
I'm curious. Yeah. I don't know. So some towns don't have it.
I think if it's a smaller town,
I imagine Los Angeles has it.
They do. I've been out to Los Angeles,
so they have it. So
I've
Mike
been out there
hop
a couple
on
times.
A flight, yeah, head around the Southern Cal area.
Yeah, I could do it. Yeah,
the USC campus. Turn on Uber and hopefully maybe he gets a delivery of Lynn Swan.
We could fly. We could just pay for it and just fly Mike out to L.A.
Lynn ordering a little tuna salad.
Yes.
On a scooped out bagel.
With an Arnold
a little
Palmer.
Red onion.
Yeah.
And
that sounds
Arnold
good.
Palmer.
Pickle on the side on
pickle
that, by the way.
The side, that's
we're
going
to go scooped out
right.
with a little red onion. I and need a little pickle on the side.
A little coleslaw.
Yeah. Oh.
There you go.
But see, now listen, those kind of vittles, I'm not sure if they have that out in L.A. I've been to L.A.
They
many
probably
times.
Don't.
They don't. You're talking straight New York style right
there. I
understand. There, so I know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm saying.
And it just got me hungry.
I understand. I love the scooped out bagel.
Yeah, I do. You ever have a Flagel scooped out? That's a joke. You can get
Flagels.
Next time you go to a bagel store, tell them extra Flagel. You know, Flagel, for those that know, it's a flat bagel.
Yeah.
They take a bagel and they crush it. But, Moose, you should go to your local bagel shop and say, hey, I'll take a Flagel. Can you scoop it? And the guy will look at you like, look, we can't scoop a Flagel.
But isn't a
it's flat.
But right, that's true. You can't scoop it out. But isn't a Flagel kind of like you're trying to feel better about eating a bagel?
Yes.
But you're getting all the carbs of the regular bagel.
Exactly.
But it's thinner. So you feel a little bit better about yourself.
Because it's flattened out, right.
Because it's flattened out, but in essence, you're just eating a bagel.
It's like taking a half gallon of ice cream. And put it in a microwave, melt it,
and drink it.
Just drink it. Yeah, I just had a small milkshake. No, you drank a half gallon of Breyers vanilla. Okay, so you know what I mean? Like, so that's what a Flagel is. You flatten it out.
Yeah.
And by the way, for those people out maybe in Idaho or California or Texas, when Moose is saying a scooped out bagel, that's a bagel. You scoop out the guts of it, so it's less carbs.
Right. You take out some of the breading.
The starch, Jones.
No doubt. So where it's just more of the crust.
Are we ready to keep going here?
No, we're done.
Okay, we're done.
All right. It's Taz and the Moose. There you have it. Your three big storylines. A little bit of a deli update as well for you on this Tuesday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Right, what do we got here? We're good? We're good here? I don't want to have a gimmick? All right. So, yeah, you have something to do? Okay, I want to say something.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Here's Rick. We were talking about Lutz with the 58-yard field goal for the Saints.
Yeah, Will Lutz.
I forgot to tell you earlier, right before he's kicking that, Robbie Rosenhaus decided to text me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And what happens is Robbie is like, this is unbelievable, because the suplex, because this, you know, that's where the engagement started. Now, Robbie's going to hear
all this. But that suplex happened earlier on. That didn't happen around the Will Lutz field goal.
But what happens is engagement with Robbie started with me because of the suplex, because Robbie texted me. And then Robbie hung around via text with Taz throughout the rest of this game.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So during the Bills-Jet game, I got Pete Gass texting me nonstop. And then during the Saints game, I got Robbie Rosenhaus, a.k.a. Huge Freeze, he is texting me. Okay?
Yeah, Robbie texted me on Sunday. I didn't respond.
I just let you know, Robbie listens to all of this. I know you don't care. I don't care either. I love Robbie.
He does care.
But Robbie's got to stop texting me during games.
It.
He's got to stop.
He texts me to gloat about his thoroughbred horse racing picks and his winnings.
Yeah.
Robbie, 2 weekends ago, won nearly 5 G's.
Did he really?
Yes.
I love Robbie.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes could save you 50% or more, 15% or more on your car insurance. But I hate when people do that. There's nothing worse. That gloat about winnings after it's official.
Oh, Robbie does that? Yeah.
Well, he's multiple times.
With the ponies.
Oh, no doubt. Yes.
Wow.
All the time.
I didn't know that.
And
dude,
I got on him. I go, listen, dude. Okay. I go, if you're gonna text me the play before you make the play, and then you can gloat about the winning. He's texting me the winning ticket, how much he won, the investment, everything like that. I'm like, Robbie, great. I'm happy for you. Great. Enjoy the $4,800 that you just won.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you,
that's fantastic. Good for him.
I'll
but there's nothing worse than that. Like after a game goes, well, text me then beforehand.
Right. Yeah, well, that's what I did.
You know, I love the Army plus 22. I got a lot of those on Saturday. Great. Well, where were you at 11:30?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, well, that's the thing about the Lutz thing. Reason why I brought up Robbie, I text him right before this kick, and I just said to him, I said, he's not making this kick. And as soon as I text, he makes the kick. I'm like, well, maybe I spoke too soon. So, yeah, that's my story.
It was much funnier if you were there. Robbie kept on, how long did the conversation last for?
Then he started sharing all of his fantasy draft info and how well he's doing.
Oh, God, you guys.
He did that. He's launching a comeback. Right, after down 70.
Feeding the beast.
Because I'm a gentleman. I can't blow people off.
No.
I don't ghost people.
Oh, you can't blow people off. Robbie deserves none of your attention, not even a little bit.
He's a former producer of
the Taz
Show.
The last time I texted you, like, yeah, great, I'm recording, leave me alone. The noise interrupts my recording. So you can cut people off and drop them.
I was recording a podcast at that stage.
Yeah, and we had a group text going.
You would hit pause for Robbie.
And you guys decided not to respond. I didn't want to hear about the Vikings.
Well, look, real quick, because on that group text.
Because once you open up and you respond to the Viking victory, then I'm going to get a breakdown of the offensive line, the defensive line, how good Cousins look. This is going to be our year. It's just going to go on and on all afternoon
long. It's not just that, dude. I deal with Minnesota Gophers. Nonstop info about the Gophers.
Because
you went to Minnesota. I know everything about the Minnesota Gophers football program, and I don't want to know anything about that.
I know.
Because I engage with my friend Robbie. He was my personal security, as you know, my confidant in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Remember the big thing that happened there? I wish I had a camera on that.
I do remember,
He's sitting, he's my security, there's all lines of people, and he's sitting there smiling, taking pictures of me while people are trying to rob me. Oh. I'm like, Robbie, help me, you're 6'9", you're 600 pounds. Well, he's not 600, he lost weight, actually.
He's 400?
No, he lost weight. He did lose weight. Robbie looks good, he did.
I mean, he might have lost weight, technically.
No, he did.
No, he looks good. Yeah, he
looks
good. Weight?
He lost weight.
How much weight has he lost?
A lot.
Like, what does that mean?
Bro, I didn't weigh him.
Why don't you ask him? You're having in-depth conversations. You're breaking down fantasy and you're talking about wrestling moves. So why don't you ask him how much weight he's
lost? He lost a Connor. He still weighs two of me. So, again, it's all relative.
But he's huge free. He's still a big part of the DA show, right?
No, he's out.
Oh, wow. Really?
Out. Banned.
What did he do? Banned?
Lost a contest.
He broke rules.
Those are the rules.
He lost a contest. No, he's playing for his life.
Yeah, last year we went over this. Didn't he have to sing a song saying goodbye and that was it?
Yeah, he had his jersey retired.
That was it. Yeah, he's done.
Thank you.
So you know what we call that?
He had a betting contest with Mraz,
yep.
Right?
Yeah. And he lost in a landslide.
DA should have came to me about that because creatively I would have helped him with a concept for that. Because in wrestling there's something called lose or leave town, which is a rare thing. So it used to be a thing that the loser of the match would have to leave the territory.
Yep.
Because they had territory, wrestling territory. So that what you guys could have did with Robbie. But I know, Andrew, you're a big part of the creative of the DA show also.
Yep.
So you could have did a loser leave town, loser leave the radio show, you know, but match. Well, it wasn't a match. Whatever. It's done. Why am I talking about this? I don't care.
I mean, he leave. He literally left. He has a different job in a different location.
He's left the whole company.
He no longer works here.
Yeah.
But yet he still talks to me.
So. Yeah, and you talk back.
Well, that's going to be forever.
Well, he's my friend.
Yeah. Of course.
But I'm trying to... Moose,
he was the last one in.
Moose, I can't do like you do. You ghost people. I can't do that.
Well, I do. I did. I didn't feel like talking about the Vikings for 2 hours.
But it's like the guy loves
Robbie
his team.
Understands.
I know he understands. But if he contacts about the ponies, you're all over that.
No, he's not. He contacted me at a bad time.
All right.
And gloating about winning $5,000. And I hate that.
I know. I'm joking, but I know what you mean. That's not good.
That is annoying.
Robbie, you know better than that.
No. That's true. Is annoying. That is annoying. I'm all happy that he won.
Right.
I'm not taking anything away. He's actually a really good handicapper.
All right.
So he does a nice job with that. He picks winners left and right. That's great. But it would be like me randomly texting you, Taz, just won 16 large on a triple at Belmont. Just out of the blue. You'd be like, I'm happy for you, Moose.
Okay.
Thanks for the
random.
And meanwhile,
the
ticket cost me $12. Mm. And be like, wow, thanks for the heads up. Who couldn't use $16,000?
I didn't know he's braggadocious Jones like that. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
And notice when he texts you once, and then it'll be rapid fire. Boom,
well, that's
boom,
why
boom,
I didn't.
Boom,
that's
boom.
Why like, I. Well, quick. There was a little bit of a hangover from the pick five Delmar text. And then the Minnesota, I don't need to hear about the Vikings all afternoon.
At least you don't
because
get the Gophers.
When the Vikings have a bad loss, he basically runs ducks and hides.
Oh, wow. He's not going to like that. That line, I will get texts about you saying that. And I will, you know me,
he'll text me. I'm sure I'll hear from him.
I don't know. After this combo.
What do you mean? Every day he listens. I'll get a text about 11:45 noon, depending on when the podcast drops. He listens. He wants his name referenced, and then I get whether or not, hey, good point this morning on me. I am like that. He listens every day.
You're killing me.
Every single day. Bogus is here. He got an update. Take it away.
Yeah, I do. Will Lutz gave the Saints a 27-21 lead with a 47-yard field goal with 50 seconds to go last night in New Orleans. But the Texans took the lead in two plays. Kenny Stills, a 37-yard TD catch with 37 seconds left. So Lutz kicked again.
58-yard attempt for the win. Snap. Placement. Lux leans into it. Lux has got the distance. Oh, he's got it! Saints win!
30-28. Ian Eagle on Westwood 1. 58 yards, a career high for Lux. It's also the longest field goal in the final 10 seconds of a Week 1 game since the merger in 1970. The Raiders might not have Antonio Brown, but they definitely have a running game.
Here's Jacobs, middle, plows to the end zone. Touchdown!
46 power. Love that play. We used to call it God's play because you knew God was going to come and get you when we were through with you.
That's Lincoln Kennedy, Brent Musburger, Raiders Radio. Two scores for Jacobs in his debut. Derek Carr and Tyrell Williams connected through the air, and Oakland held off Denver 24-16. Brown, meanwhile, spent his first day as a Patriot yesterday. His contract reportedly for 2 years, not just this season, to spread out Brown's cap hit, but New England not expected to exercise its $20 million option for next season. Pete Alonso, two more solo homers last night. That gives him 47, the most in the majors. His Mets beat the Diamondbacks 3-1, but the Cubs were 10-2 winners in San Diego, so the Mets stay four games back of the second wild card. The D-backs now 2.5 behind Chicago.
They closed the street. Look at this. How'd this happen?
No, that street's, it's right by S&Y. That street's closed.
All right, no one knows what we're talking about, but Moose and I, that's okay.
No, that street is personally closed.
Is it really?
Yeah, it is.
I'm wondering, how the hell they pull this
usually
up?
Usually that street's dug up. The fire department's right there on the left-hand side.
Oh, I see it. Yeah. Okay,
so
I didn't know that area.
The street's not, and you see the barrier up there?
Yeah, I see it right there.
It's only authorities around.
We're watching a thing off TV.
Good morning, football. They're playing football in the street. Taz's like, how's that? How are they playing football in New York City street? The street's like permanently closed.
It's Manhattan. You don't normally see that. Andrew, sorry about that.
No, I'm done anyway. You guys can...
Hey, Andrew, listen, you did a great job today, man.
I appreciate that.
Thanks for contributing during the week.
Couldn't tell while you're watching TV.
Great job. Yeah. No, I mean, we've heard it.
Did you, though?
We did. We heard it.
Oh, my God.
Come back. We got the undercard for you. Stories that we missed here on this Tuesday morning for you. It's Taz and the Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose, coast to coast, pillar to post, on CBS Sports Radio.
Yes, we're here, Taz and Moose. So I dropped a new podcast yesterday. I'm going to drop another one during the week, too, for those wrestling fans out there at basically on radio.com. By the way, Apple Podcasts, you can get it, Stitcher, Spotify, The Taz Show, just like you can get Taz and the Moose. So, Moose, it's important for me, I'll bring it up to the audience right now. Anybody having a problem downloading Taz and the Moose from yesterday on radio.com, the Apple website, that's probably what happened to you. So there's some kind of a technical thing that I know the IT team, that they're working on all that. So hopefully everything's working.
Yeah, go to the other spots to download.
Correct. So just it's important. I know a lot of you guys get the podcast on radio.com. The app or the website, you might want to veer from that just for a day or so if you need it. Go to Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or something like that. Anyway, I had this topic I discussed yesterday, Moose, in my podcast. Who has more pressure on them? A fan asked the question. Vince McMahon with the XFL or Tony Khan with AEW? So for those that don't know, Tony Khan is the owner, him and his dad, they own the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah.
But he also owns, a new wrestling company that's starting on TNT, on TV, on Turner, called AEW. They're going to really give a shot to compete with WWE. So I my answer was I think Vince McMahon has more pressure. I'm going to see what you think, because Vince McMahon, XFL failed once before. So now he's getting a chance to do it again. The AAF just failed as far as something being an alternative to the NFL. Yeah. That just failed, right? So it's like, even though I had nothing to do with Vince, it kind of does. So I feel like there's more pressure on Vince with the XFL.
I'd probably agree with that.
Right? Yeah,
I'd probably agree with that. I'd probably say because of the past failure.
Correct.
The
that's
XFL.
What I'm saying, yeah. So
I'd probably agree.
You know, where with Tony Khan, he's obviously a very wealthy man. He's a billionaire. And he's a very passionate wrestling supporter and fan for a lot of years. So he's hired a team of people, men and women, that are credible in the wrestling industry and production, TV production people. He's got a contract with Turner
right.
for TV. So yep. he's just a passionate guy that's putting a lot of money out there trying to start a new company. You know,
I'd say the difference, though, is AEW is taking on the WWE and the XFL is not taking on the NFL.
I think that's a very good point. I think that's a good point.
I think in terms of pressure for the business model, it's different for the AEW than it is for the XFL.
I think that's a super good point. The thing is, yes, most of the casual wrestling fan and even sports fan that knows what AEW is, they look at it like that. But AEW is telling you, they're saying publicly lately this is, that they're not trying to compete with WWE. Well, I don't know. I mean, the thing is, they announced their TV show will be on Wednesday nights, right? Starting now in the fall here soon on TNT, AEW. And then WWE went with USA and took NXT, as you know, Moose, off of the WWE network more or less. The live show and will be on USA Network on Wednesdays. So it's almost like WWE is going at AEW. You know what I mean? So, but it don't matter. As an overview, you're right. It's AEW attempting quasi. You start a new wrestling company. You're going at the WWE with all that money.
Well, you know? Yeah, and for the interest of the wrestling fan.
Sure, sure.
You know, the football fan, I think, has kind of, especially with the, you know, and I think probably the failure of the AAF helps Vince with the XFL, because I don't think there's great,
talent.
Not talent. I would say the expectations, I would say, are probably a little bit less and diminished. That would be my opinion on it, and being a little bit more realistic with the expectations going in and judging success about anything else. So, I mean, it's interesting because, I mean, at that stage when the XFL comes on, in February of next year, 2020, Taz, football's not on the air.
I know.
They're the only show in town. So AEW's, there's always obviously going to be, as you know, better than anybody, the WWE.
Of course. And obviously here on Taz and Moose, we're all huge fans of the New York Guardians.
No doubt.
They love
They're
us.
Great.
We love them. They gave us nice gifts.
They did.
And we love them.
And they spread the love. I mean, they were spread the love to everyone. I mean,
social media-wise,
no doubt.
They spread the love of Taz and Moose. XFL did too.
Yep, and we appreciate that.
Yeah. I wonder if Vince saw that. So, you know, Taz is the Taz with Moose. We like Moose. We don't like Taz. Why are we retreating that?
No, I think it's probably the other way around.
They don't like you. They love you.
They don't like me.
Bro, Raw was in the Garden last night. Where was I?
That doesn't mean anything.
SmackDown's in the Garden tonight. Where am I going to be?
I don't. Maybe you'll be at the Garden.
Between you and me?
Yeah.
They haven't called yet.
Well,
so.
Maybe you'll be at the Garden.
It's a short drive to the Garden,
yeah,
so they call me
could,
7 o'clock.
I mean, they
could
call at 3 o'clock this afternoon. You could
they
be
could.
There.
They could.
Here we go. Here's the undercard.
Taz and the Moose present The Undercard. The stories from today's rundown that we haven't talked about on the show.
All right, what do we got, Michael?
All right, here we go. Nick Saban called out the student section for leaving early against New Mexico State, the Aggies. It was a 62-10 blowout. The student section said enough. Is it fair for Saban to call out the students for leaving the game?
Well, he did it last year.
Right, I was going to say, again, yeah, he did it last year.
Last year, he called them out for not showing up at all when they were taking on bad football teams. And said, I'm paraphrasing now, but in essence, if you're a fan, you got to be there every single week and root a team out. I don't blame it. I mean, who's sitting there watching that? Go on, and you want to continue your partying ways someplace
else. Exactly. The weekend, you're in class, studying all week, whatever.
On the weekend, you're cutting it loose.
You're cutting it loose, or you're recovering from Friday night. Listen.
Well, you could be doing that as well, but I'm not sitting there watching that.
I know when my son was at Bucknell, he had a bunch of friends that weren't on the lacrosse team, and they weren't on the football team, and it was like they had time. And I'm like, hey, these guys are going to come to the game on Saturday morning. He goes, Dad, they're sleeping.
Well, yeah, but I did know guys. Now there were games we'd go when this was when Syracuse was good, where they'd blow the doors off of a team, and me and a couple of my buddies we'd take off early and head back to the house, and there were guys that would be like, I'm staying here till the end. Like,
yeah,
hey, enjoy.
Yeah.
And that's when Syracuse was good.
That's when it was good, right?
That's when the place was rocking.
I could see
the dome was rocking.
I could see Saban's point. I can, but you know what? He's got to realize their campus life. These kids, they're not dedicated to the football program, nor should they be.
What?
They have other things going on in their life.
But Tester could be. We're talking about a game that was, what was the game, Mike?
62-10? New Mexico State.
Yeah, 62-10.
I mean, it's 62-10 final. Yeah. Well, what's riveting about that?
You're not knuckling up an LSU coach.
Yeah, I mean, no, that's really. It. There's nothing riveting about that.
No.
All right. Next.
Hey, Mike, thanks for digging that story up, too.
Hey, I appreciate it.
Great job.
Yeah.
You really had to dig deep for that one.
Yes, I did. Thank you, Taz. Which head coach has more pressure on them this season? Bill O'Brien or Jason Garrett?
Oh, wow.
Garrett.
Yeah, I'm with Moose. I say Garrett, too, with the Cowboys. Yeah, I definitely think so. They're Cowboys, though. They're going to be pretty good, man. I've been saying it. They're going to be pretty good. So, yeah, I think there's more pressure on Garrett. I'm with you.
Well, and they changed the offensive coordinator, Kellen Moore. Lenihan was out after last year, fired in January. Taz, earlier this year, I should say. And we all know how the relationship between Garrett and Jerry Jones. And I think based on they are a good team. We both believe they're playoff teams. I have them as a wild card. You have them win the division, Taz. But the expectations are for this team, with the talent they have, is to do some damage in the NFC. And if they have a bad loss in the postseason, if they play poorly and they're relatively healthy, could you see the Cowboys transitioning to somebody else? I could, yeah.
I definitely could. I mean, because Jones has been all in, man, financially, that family, you know. I mean, they spent a lot. Look, they got Zeke back in town. That's a big thing. And the money spent there. I'm just saying.
And the other thing with O'Brien, Taz, I still think he's got a stranglehold on that franchise.
Weird, right?
Strange. I mean, he does. They tried to bring the Pats guy in until they were reneged on that. Remember that whole, tampering thing with the National Football League? So they tried to bring in a guy from the Pats. That didn't work. And he's basically running the team now as head coach of the team. I don't think Bill O'Brien's going anywhere. Yeah. I don't think if he was on shaky ground, Taz, I don't think he'd have that kind of control.
Yeah, he wouldn't. There's no way. Why would they? Why would they empower him to that level if they're fixing the fire's ass? You know what I mean?
Because the damage you can do long term. Right. All right. Anything else, Mikers? That
we can do one more.
Oh. Yeah, go ahead.
Odell Beckham Jr. We saw his $350,000 watch that he wore and got a little no-no from the NFL. If there was a piece of jewelry you would wear in an NFL game as a wide receiver, what would it be?
The Snickers chain that what's his name came in the studio with. Remember?
The Marcus Ware.
Ware had. Yeah. No, I'm joking. I would probably wear a. I would probably wear diamond stud earrings that hang. I want a loop. Like a hoop earring with the studs hanging in them.
Nice. I wear a ginormous pinky ring.
Nice, Moose. I can picture that, bro.
I'm the Godfather.
What do you call it? You're hanging out with Sammy Davis at the club in Parsippany and Frank Sinatra. In the 50s.
Yeah, that's it, right.
With a zoot suit on under your football uniform.
That'd be great. Crooner.
I couldn't think of the word. That was the word I was thinking of.
Connor, Mike, good job. Bogish with the updates as well. Steve Diassi for joining us earlier on the program. Thanks for all the calls as well. Taz, good stuff, brother.
Yes, you too, sir. Great job, everyone.
You got it. Have yourself a wonderful Tuesday. Till tomorrow. Peace.